A Haynes assembly member recuperates in Seattle after a fire on his boat, and a wrap-up of this summer's Southeast cruise season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Haynes Assemblymember George Campbell is recovering in Seattle after a fire broke out on his riverboat Friday, burning his hands, arms, and face. Campbell's wife, Lynn, called Monday to give a report on George. She said he was at Jacko's Landing on the Chilkat River Friday afternoon, getting ready to go moose hunting with friends Nicole and Tim Holm. He was fueling the boat when the bilge pump gave off a spark and ignited a fire, she said. Lynn says George told her he grabbed a fire extinguisher to put the fire out and keep it from becoming a bigger explosion, but burned himself in the process. A polar fleece he was wearing melted, Lynn says. The Holmes, both medical professionals and another retired EMT at the site, treated Campbell.
And they rolled him in mud, got him off, got the fire out, and then submerged him in the river. And then they wrapped his wounds with cloth.
They began driving Campbell toward town, and on the way they notified Mosquito Lake resident Jim Stanford, who called 911. An ambulance met the vehicle at 10 miles Haynes Highway. Lynn said he was treated at the clinic and then medevaced that evening to the burn unit at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. Lynn says it takes several days to assess burn injuries. Right now, George appears to have second and third degree burns on his face, hands, and arm. She said doctors are especially concerned with his right hand, and he's doing physical therapy to keep the muscles in the hand functioning.
It's a pretty serious injury, but he's doing well.
Campbell has been discharged from the hospital, Lynn said, but is scheduled to return to see doctors on Friday to see if any skin grafts will be needed. The Haynes Small Boat Harbor is offering a new service this winter, boat storage, in the lot behind the ice house. Harbor Master Phil Benner said the borough decided to offer the storage service. Normally, boat owners in Haynes have the option of keeping them in the water and docked at the harbor, or having them hauled out and stored in Skagway. A handful also use private boat storage at Letnikoff Cove. But this year will be the first year the harbor will offer storage. Benner said boat owners will still need to hire someone to help with the haul out, but he says there is a new private hydraulic trailer available in town now, making it easier for owners to get boats out. The borough has space to store 10 to 12 boats this winter and will charge 20 cents a square foot per month. For more information, contact the Haynes Harbor Master's office. We've had plenty of rain this summer and fall, and now Environment Canada is calling for that rain to turn to snow in some areas, including Whitehorse and the South Klondike Highway from Carcross to White Pass. Monday night and Tuesday, rain is expected to turn to snow in those areas as cold air moves into the Yukon. Snowfall amounts are expected to stay under 4 inches for now. Alaska's cruise ship season ended last week. It and other types of tourism attracted a similar number of visitors as in 2013. But the next few years could be different. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Tourists off the Norwegian Sun find the last open excursion kiosk on Juneau's waterfront. They check out their options and arrange for a tour to the Mendenhall Glacier.
Is this one?
No, it'll be a van.
The Sun can carry up to 2,000 passengers plus 1,000 crew. Many times this summer, they've joined 10,000 or more other visitors and workers on Juneau's docks. But this day, it's the only ship in town, and the streets seem a bit empty. Convention and Visitors Bureau volunteer Sharon Meyer is one of the people answering tourists' questions. She helps them figure out what they can and can't do during their relatively short stays. And she hears some questions with pretty obvious answers.
How far are we above sea level? And I'm not making that up. We get that all the time. And if we take American money.
If they're off a cruise ship, she'll politely remind them that it's floating in the ocean.
As far as the currency goes, you have to answer that based on who you're speaking with. You can never assume that they, you know, want a joke or something on their at their expense. So you just say, yes, we do it. But if you need an exchange, we can help them find a bank or someone that would help them out.
Juno saw almost all of the cruise ship passengers sailing Alaska waters this summer. Skagway and Ketchikan saw a lot, and Sitka, Hoonah, Whittier, and Kodiak saw far fewer. John Binkley is the president of Cruise Lines International Association in Alaska.
It was a great season. We had almost a million visitors that will have come to Alaska on cruise ships, and about the same overall for other modes of transportation and getting to Alaska. I think there were close to 2 million visitors this year.
2014 brought a new ship, the Crown Princess, which carries about 3,000 passengers and 1,200 crew. The same-size Ruby Princess will sail next season, replacing a smaller ship. Cruise lines often shuffle vessels in and out of their Alaska routes. Binkley says that has advantages.
Many times when they put a new ship or a newer ship into a market, it has a loyal following, so you see a lot of passengers that want to go on the new ships and, of course, want to go to Alaska as well.
Passenger capacity has hovered around a million for several years. That may be as many as North American markets can provide. But Binkley says cruise lines are targeting new customers, especially in Asia.
It's staggering the number of people who will be in the economic strata in China in the next 10 years to afford cruises, and one of the top destinations that they want to cruise to is Alaska.
Absolutely. There's significant interest from China.
Jillian Simpson is Director of Membership and Tourism Policy for the Alaska Travel Industry Association.
And actually, already we're getting visitors from not only mainland China, but also people that are in the U.S., whether they're studying from China or they're over here for business, or then adding on trips to Alaska.
Simpson says the association's final figures aren't in, but it looks like 2014 season was strong with about the same number of visitors, but not everywhere.
With the amount of rain, we saw the floodings that were happening early on in the season impacted, you know, Denali and the railroad. Anytime there's lots of rain or storms, you know, it impacts the day cruises or people that need to take a boat out to a lodge, as well as sightseeing tours and being able to get out to remote parts.
Southeast Alaska's Inside Passage also saw extra rain, but that didn't affect its numbers. For one thing, people should know they're visiting a rainforest. Also, cruise ship berths are booked months in advance. Back at Juno's docks, one of its main attractions, the Mount Roberts Tramway, slides into its lower terminal. It discharges passengers who rode the enclosed gondola to a building and trails almost 2,000 feet up the hillside.
I'm going to show you a kickflip.
Nearby, a Visitors Bureau volunteer doles out maps and tips, as he has all summer. Some dockside greeters get to be more outgoing. Sharon Meyer, who we talked to earlier, got to go on board some of the ships this year to hand out information and answer questions.
What's your favorite part?
Oh, meeting the people. The visitors are so eager to see Juno and Alaska. I think it's on a lot of people's bucket lists to come up here.
Many of their questions are the same, about weather and wildlife, and of course, altitude and money. But Meyer says this season brought something different.
Some people this summer have been asking where the Sarah Palin statue is. For some reason, they think there's one in town.
Next year's season begins in early May, when the Ruby Princess docks in Ketchikan. The ships will keep sailing till mid-September. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
The rest of this week, we will be featuring municipal election coverage, with other small stories here and there. But on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we will be featuring interviews with candidates for Skagway Assembly. Those interviews in their entirety will be posted on our KHNS News website. And we will be airing the taped Haines Assembly Candidate Forum on Wednesday at 10 a.m. You can also hear that entire forum on our website starting Tuesday morning. And we will host our second Haines Forum on Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Haines High School Open Area. That forum will feature candidates for Haines mayor, followed by a discussion on the ballot measures for this municipal election, the school bond question, and the question to change the Haines charter to drop the requirement that winning candidates get 40% of the vote to win an election. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clutquan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.